people said, amen. Thank you very much for playing that on the piano for me. There is another song that I could have sung, and that is a song that says, oh, I want to know you more. And each and every day that I awaken in the morning, I want to know him more. It's just like I cannot get enough of him. He who is God. And something that I wanted to share with you just before I deliver this message, and that is that I want to remind you of the Apostle Paul. Do you remember the Apostle Paul from the pages of Holy Writ? Quite a character, would you not say? After all, he was God's intended messenger to deliver the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus died for our sins, was buried the third day, according to the scriptures, and rose again. That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen? Well, Paul is an interesting individual, and he kind of is a setting for all this today. And I remember Paul for three basic things I wanted to share with you today, and that is this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, Paul basically says of himself, I am the least of all apostles. As you know, God saved Paul and then called him to be an apostle. An apostle is a messenger. And that messenger, Paul, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, I am the least of all apostles. Now, I'm going to explain something after I share this. And then as he was dealing with the saints in Ephesus, he basically stated to them, I am the least of all saints. He went from the least of all apostles, that was his ministry that God gave him, to the least of all saints. That's who he was among the brethren. And then when he was soon to be offered up, he then said, I am the chief of all sinners, or sinners of whom I am chief, or as translated in the ESV, foremost of all sinners. Now, isn't that interesting? Least of all apostles, least of all saints, chief of all sinners. Now, what I want you to see in this is the progression of salvation or sanctification, if you will, unto the place of maturity. I also want you to see it as what happens when we are first saved as we look at what we can do for God. As we are growing, we look at ourselves among the brethren because now we see different talent. That was a beautiful flutist solo. I really appreciate that. Now I wish I had learned to play flute. I played clarinet. But then I wished I could play piano. Then the organ. I play that by ear. Then I wish I could play the accordion. And then the trumpet. Oh, and then I was a bugler in the army. That didn't work so well. Everybody hated me. But then I saw different preachers be able to preach, different teachers be able to teach, ushers that be able to usher. And I've always said in the 33 years of pastoral ministry, I would just simply rather be a door opener and greet the people. Well, you guessed what? The Lord gave me that opportunity too at Harvest Bible. And I make the best of it. I love it. But like Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. And then, ready to be offered up, ready to go home to be with the Lord, as he was looking at his life in relationship to who God is, he said, of all sinners, I am the chief. I want to put this in your head and in your heart. The closer that you get to God in relationship or fellowship, if you will, the more you see who you are in relation to who he is. I am as, what's his name, Guy? Remember the singer Guy, Lou Jean? From the Bill Gaither Trio? Guy, I can't think of his second name. Any, what is it? Yes. Say it again. Penrod. Guy Penrod. He sang a song, and in the song, he basically said, I am only a sinner saved by grace. And Bill Gaither said it in a different way. He said it like this. He said, on your very best day, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. The closer that I come to know my God, the closer I come to see who he is in my life, the more I realize what I really am, a sinner saved by grace. When I was first saved, I looked at my ministry. I was called to be a pastor. I became a pastor. And then I realized what I was with all the saints, and I wanted to use all who they were and their talents. I wanted them to grow, and I am the least of all saints, and now I'm the chief of sinners. Talk about spiritual maturity coming around and letting you open your eyes to see who you are in the presence of who God is and what he has done for you. I am a sinner saved by grace. On my very best day, I am a sinner saved by grace. And then I know that I have preached and said and taught and said and preached to you before. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12 and 13. Whereas David simply recognizes the greatness of his God, the power of his God, the glory of his God, the victory of his God, and the majesty of his God. He sees that God owns all things. All things belong to him. His is the kingdom. He is the head over all. And we are told that God, the Son, is the head of the church. Amen? In other words, he has all authority, he has all rulership, he is just simply one in control. And David says, riches and honor come of thee. Thou rulest over all. And in essence says, power and might are in thine hand. From your hand comes the strength that we gain each and every day to do whatever, to be and to do whatever we are to be and to do as far as God is concerned. And then he says, and I thank you, I praise you for who you are and for what you've done for me. In verse 13. All that to say this, when David was ready to be offered up, all he could do is say, you know what? I praise you for who you are. I'm thankful for what you've done. Well, who am I to give you, or my people? Who are we to give you an offering? I mean, everything belongs to you in the first place. All we're doing is giving back to you what you gave to us, because you own it all. David, in his growth and maturity, the closer he came to knowing who God is, recognized what he was. David was a very rich king. God blessed him immensely. Amen? And yet he said, you know what? All this, it already belongs to you. I'm just giving it back to you. That's exciting. Because when you stop and think about that, the older you get, the more you will doxologize your God for who he is. The more that you can learn of who he is, the more that you can praise his name for what he is doing in our lives. And I gave two basic doxologies from the old, and I gave basically one from the new. I'm going to show you another one. And that one is found in Romans, if you take your Bibles to the book of Romans, and you look at chapter 11, Herein lies another doxology, if you will. We sang the words, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These words were written in 1674 by Thomas Ken, and they were to be used as the final verse of two hymns, Awake My Soul and With the Sun, along with Glory to Thee, My God, This Night. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. It's fun, so much fun, to doxologize our God, to sing praise, if you will, be it by poem, be it by hymn, be it by song, be it by reading or singing the scriptures. And Paul does that here in Romans chapter 11. He says in verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable, how unfathomable are his judgments. And how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? His advisor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? What did I just say about David? What did David do? He said, who am I that I should give to you an offering when in essence you gave it to me in the first place. It all belongs to you, and I'm just giving it back to you. And what does Paul say? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? It belongs to God in the first place. Everything you are, everything you own, even your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus bought it with a price. Everything you have, everything you experience, it all belongs to him, and he gives it to you. And all we're doing is giving it back to him. Or verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. Wow. The doxology is nothing but praising God for who he is, what he is doing in your lives. We should not only sing praise God from whom all blessings flow on Sunday, we should praise it every day of our lives. What a great God we have. I wanted to share that with you. I get excited. But I want you to take your Bibles back to Isaiah 40. And I believe that's where our scripture reading came from this morning. Is that correct? Isaiah chapter 40. And I want you to look at verse 12 again. Isaiah 40 and verse 12 again. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Anybody here? There's a lot of waters, don't you think? And marked off the heavens with a span. Anybody mark off the heavens yet? Wow. Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has measured, ready? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? What man shows God his counsel? How does Romans say it? For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has advised God as to who he is and what he's doing? Anybody here? I know I haven't. Boy, if God advises me, big time. Whoa. He makes me realize that life is important. And he makes me realize he's more important than even my life. Because my life is in his hands. I'm complete in him. And then he says, whom did he consult and whom made him understand? So did God consult you as far as anything, who he is or what he's doing, and then pass it on? I don't think so. Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge? Who taught him knowledge? Who taught God knowledge? Anybody? And showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Wow, what a great God we have. And you see, it says right here in Romans chapter 11, it says, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. Take your Bibles again and go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Pastor Samuel will be thankful I'm preaching from his book this morning. 1 Samuel. Samuel. I love your pastor. He is such a great servant of the Lord. Amen. I love Pastor Samuel. I miss Pastor Samuel. Pastor Samuel helped me out a lot when I came out of the pastoral ministry. He was right there for me to cry on his shoulder. He was right there. He picked up my spirit. He's a great servant of the Lord. I love your pastor. But 1 Samuel, I want you to look at verse 2, please. 1 Samuel chapter 2. There is none holy like the Lord. Amen? There is none holy. No one is as separated unto himself as God is himself. There is none besides you. There are no other gods that exist. Sorry. The gods of this world? Nothing. There are none besides you. There is no rock like our God. I'll tell you what, you want something that's concrete and unmovable. Your God is concrete and unmovable. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. Lord is capitalized in the pages of Holy Writ, is it not? Yes? Yes? That means we are talking about Jehovah God, Yahweh, if that is how it is pronounced in the Hebrew, Yahweh, the self-existing one. There is none else. He who is the covenant God, Jehovah, meaning. For the Lord God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now, see that? See those two phrases right there? That part of the verse that I just read? For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Right? You see it? Now go back to Romans 11 real quick. Romans 11, and I want you to look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. Old Testament, New Testament. Here we are. Romans 11, 33. And what does it say? Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. See that phrase? God is a God of knowledge. We read that in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Chapter 2 and verse 3, right? It said, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and... how's that word say it? Knowledge of God. And then it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3, it says... And by him actions are weighed. You see the word wisdom? Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom. You see that word? The word wisdom is simply, as it says here in 1 Samuel, by him actions are weighed. Actions are weighed. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge that we have. When we know the knowledge of God, then we can weigh our actions according to the knowledge of God. That's what's wrong with America. They are taking God out of the picture. There is no more standard. And as the Bible says, every man is doing what is right in their own eyes. They're making the rules as they go along. It's like, okay, well, okay, God is a God of knowledge. And it says, oh, the depth. Now, you know what the word depth means. Anybody ever been to the bottom of the ocean? How many miles is it deep? Anybody? Now, I'm not smarter than a fifth grader, so if there's a fifth grader here, can you tell me how deep the ocean is? Pretty deep. Right? Oh, the depth. I remember when I was a fifth grader, and my mom took me swimming. Oh, the depth of the swimming pool. It was deep. No, mom. No, mom. Yes, son. No, mom. Yes, son. No, mom. Don't argue with your mom, Dad would say. Okay, Dad. No, mom. The depth, the deepness, the everlasting deepness of God's riches are beyond human comprehension. You may have a wallet. God has a wallet that has a hole in it. His riches are unending. Remember the riches of grace, the riches of Christ, the riches of his word. The depth is beyond human comprehension. It goes well beyond our finite minds. The riches and wisdom. God taking what he is, knowledge, and weighing actions against the knowledge to produce the right way. The depth of God's wisdom. Who can know the mind of the Lord? Can you know the mind of the Lord? Do you know what he's going to do in your life next? Do you know what's going to happen to you when you walk out those church doors this morning? Do you know the next thing that's going to happen to you? When I woke up, I said, yay, I'm 64. Oh, I feel horrible. Oh. Went to the doctors finally. I blew my wife's mind away because I never go to the doctor. I went to the doctors and he says, oh, you have upper respiratory infection. Oh, great. I never had respiratory infection. Never. He says, well, you do now. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Do you want medication? No, I don't want any medication. So then the next week it turns into pneumonia. I think I better go to the doctor. Do you want medication? Yeah, I think I'll take medication. Then I went into a coughing spree for 2 or 3 weeks. Then I went and had pneumonia again after the doctor told me, you will now have pneumonia again because if you had it once, you're going to have it again. No, not on my watch. Oh, yes, sir, on my watch. And then I went back and he gave me a double dose of whatever it's called. And then it finally got rid of that, but then I still had the coughing, and then I pulled my back. Of all things, I pulled my back. You know what these big trash barrels look like? The metal trash barrels, right? It was half full of water, and I forgot to tell my crew to move the half barrel of water that was sitting aside of the dumpster so that the truck would not hit the barrel but get into the dumpster. And I forgot to say that, and I decided to move it myself. I did it this way, you know, like a circular. Well, the next day, I paid the price for the next week or two. Then something happened to my hip. Then I got pneumonia again. Then I tell you, this has been a mixed up 64 years of age. I think it's got the wrong person in mind. I don't know what my next step, I used to know exactly what I was going to do, when I was going to do it, how I was going to get it done. And today, I have no idea. But I know God is in control. His wisdom is far greater than mine. Because he can see things, because he is a God of knowledge. And his knowledge is simultaneous. It's not anything he acquires. God does not have to, he doesn't have to sit in a university of elementary students like me and then learn something. He doesn't have to go to a university and learn anything. God simply knows it all. He is a God of knowledge. And the past tense of knowledge is remembrance. He brings to remembrance what he said in the past. And he is a God of foreknowledge. Ever hear that word before? He knows beforehand exactly what's going to go because he is a God of knowledge. He just simply is independent of anything else and knows everything that you ever want to know. If you want to know anything, go to the pages of Holy Writ because there God's knowledge is given to you. And the wisdom, he takes that knowledge and he weighs the actions thereby. Of course, God, we know, does everything right. Amen? Whoa. We got to work on that. Amen. God does everything right. Right? Whew. And he does it all the time. And what does all mean? All means all of the time. God does everything right all of the time. Does it look like he does everything right in our lives all the time? Sometimes we wonder. When my dad gave me my first spanking, I did not think that that was right. But he did. When God says that he's going to do something, he does it. And what he does is right all the time. It may not seem that way to us, but it is that way because he is a God of knowledge. He doesn't need anyone to counsel him, to advise him, to give him direction or to give him information. He has the information, he has the direction, and he has the advice. We are the ones that need it. And we are to take and receive that godly wisdom so that we can weigh what he says and thereby direct, through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, of course, direct the direction we need to go according to that knowledge. But God's wisdom is unsearchable. It's unfathomable. His knowledge is unsearchable. It's unfathomable. God is, wow, oh, he's a great God. His riches, his wisdom, his knowledge, how unsearchable are his judgments or the decisions that he makes. That's what judgment is. It's a decision that is made and passed. And God's decisions that are passed are unsearchable. Who can know the mind of the Lord? And how inscrutable are his ways? Didn't Isaiah say it this way? Did he not say that God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts the same in Isaiah? I think one way, God thinks another way. My way right or is God's way right? Which one? Which one is right? God's ways are always right. I don't understand everything that God does, do you? I don't understand all the decisions that he makes. Do you? I think I might have said this to you before. I wrestle with not being in pastoral ministry. But I know that God is right for what he's doing in my life. He makes no mistakes. Isn't that true? So whatever experience as Israel in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 concerning their salvation, whatever experience Israel goes through, God has a reason. God has a reason. Because he loves the nation of Israel. And not no merit of their own, mind you, Old Testament says. God loves the church. God loves you. He will never do anything wrong in your life. You don't have to tell him. He tells you. You don't have to weigh. He does that for you. His riches, hey, didn't Chronicles 29 verse 12 say, riches and honor come from him? You know, he gave me my wish. I remember it. He let me be a doorkeeper. For 33 years I was saying, I just would rather be a doorkeeper. You know what? My God says, oh, you what? Okay, there you go. Harvest Bible Church, you're one of the doorkeepers. You know what? It's fun welcoming people in the morning and giving them a smile. Sing them a song. I don't know if they always take the song, but, you know, sing a song for them. And ask them, how are you doing? Or what's going on in your life? Or, you know, being a doorkeeper, welcoming people into church is like, it's as equally as good as being a pastor. Because as a pastor, you're kind of like up here, you're getting ready, you know, but now I'm down there and I'm getting people ready to be under the pastor. So there's a lot to it. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his counselor concerning the salvation of Israel, concerning the salvation of the church? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Dang, that's a big thing. Everything he owns, everything belongs to him. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, your head over all. Oh my goodness. He owns this tie. He let me have it. This is 1 Corinthians, by the way. Love, faith, and hope. He let me find it. He let me have my watch. Oops, I forgot that at home. Never mind that one. It's sitting on the charger at home. I usually wear it. Where are you? He gave me my phone. I specifically asked for this phone. He let me have it. He graciously let me have it. This phone belongs to him, not mine. I'll tell you what. When I left my study up in New Berlin, Berean Baptist Church, I left four computers and a laptop. Four computers and a laptop. This does not look like four computers and a laptop. But you know what? This little thing does just as much as four computers and a laptop. Maybe even better. All my studies. I had 10,000 books in my library. I gave them away. Because I couldn't move them down here to Lancaster. There was no place to put them. And then you had to pay, what was it, $200 and $250 a month to put them in a, what do you call that, a shelter? Or no, a storage. I have 10,000 volumes down here, and even more. God is so good. Who can know the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? He opens the pages of Holy Writ for me to be able to see him as he is. Look at Jude. Look at the book of Jude. Look at the book of Jude. Just before Revelation. I love your pew Bibles. Those are neat. I like this. Don't worry, I won't take it. Doxology. Verse 24 through 25, doxology. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, here we go, ready? Be glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. By the way, I just thought I'd let you know, the English word is glory, the Greek word is doxa, from which we get doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow is a unique doxology, but greater is the doxology of the scriptures. To him be glory and honor forever. Oh, glory and honor. Oh, that's what it says in Chronicles. To him be glory forever. That's what it says in Romans. To him be glory forever. That's what it says in Jude. All the way through the pages of Holy Writ, it says, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Amen? He is a God of knowledge. You want to know anything? Go to the pages of Holy Writ. Aside from the pages of Holy Writ, we will learn nothing about our God. God, everything God wanted us to know about him are found in the pages of Holy Writ. And guess who you have to rely on? Holy Spirit. He is the author of the pages of Holy Writ. And he is the one that can illuminate the scriptures, bring the scriptures to light to you. Have to yield to him. What a great God. The Son gives us salvation. He died on the cross for our sins. The good news is that it is the power of God unto salvation. It guarantees me a relationship with him. It guarantees me a home forevermore with him. Oh, I'll tell you what. Right now, heaven looks really good compared to what we have in America. This is not the same America I grew up in. And I really am concerned for my children and my grandchildren. Very concerned. What is it that they're going to see, experience? You know what? God protected me. He can protect them too. God of knowledge, God of wisdom, God of riches, his glory is forever and ever. And all God's people again said, amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, what you are seeking to accomplish within our lives. Thank you for being our knowledge of who you are and what you are doing. Thank you for being our wisdom, that we might take and weigh what we're doing and make sure it's right according to the scriptures, the knowledge that you gave us. And your riches? Oh, help us to know that there are many riches when it comes to who you are and what you are doing in our lives. You're a great God. Thank you for your greatness. You're a powerful God. Thank you for your power. You are a God of glory. Doxology, praise and adoration, thanksgiving and worship. Thank you for victory found in Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, taking care of our sins, letting us have new life in him, and being able to live forevermore, eternally, everlasting. Thank you for your majesty. You are royalty. You are king. You are on the throne still today. Thank you. Help us to know. Help us to understand the mind of the Lord through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit as so spelled out in the pages of Holy Writ. Well, thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.